Conduct better educational leadership evaluations in less time with Super Eval, the online rubric-based evaluation tool for superintendents, principals, and central office administrators. Better communication that leads to healthy, efficient leadership teams, only at supereval.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. For the last 35 years, I've had the opportunity to learn with educators at all levels, both nationally and internationally. In each of the coming episodes, I'll explore my thoughts and my learning on a variety of topics connected to teaching, learning, and leading. Thanks for listening in. The coach approach to school leadership. Folks, today I'm excited to have with us the authors of The Coach Approach to School Leadership, Leading Teachers to Higher Levels of Effectiveness, Kathy Perrett, Shira Leibowitz, and Jessica Johnson. Ladies, I'd ask you if you would each just take a minute one by one. Kathy, since you're up here on the screen, we'll start with you first. Maybe just do a one-minute intro of yourself to the group, a little bit about what you're currently doing and your background.
Sounds great. Well, my name is Kathy Perrett, and I'm in Sioux City, Iowa. I currently work for Northwest Area Education Agency. I work with teacher leaders, helping to build their capacity. I've been a classroom teacher for 18 years and a consultant for 18, so I guess I'm in the double doubles time now. And on the side, I virtually coach coaches and do a little bit of coaching training.
Shira.
Hi, thank you. My name is Shira Leibowitz. I have been a principal for 20 years working in independent schools in the greater New York City area, currently at a school focused on interdisciplinary project-based learning, and prior to that, time in Jewish day schools. Also an instructor at Northeastern University in their doctoral program, and excited to be here.
Jessica.
All right. Well, I am in my 10th year as a elementary principal and district assessment coordinator in Wisconsin. Prior to that, I had been a classroom teacher and an instructional coach. I also I'm an adjunct professor at Viterbo University of their leadership program, and also do some consulting work on the side, just like Kathy and Shira do as well, working with principals.
So I first met the three of you with the EduCoach chat on Twitter. So I'm wondering, how did the three of you find each other in that adventure?
Well, Kathy, I'll have to start that story.
Well, okay. Well, Steve, as you know, with our agency, we were instructional coaches, and I started to look around for a chat on Twitter that was for instructional coaches and couldn't find one. So decided, well, let's start one. So I just sent out a tweet, and probably within that day, I heard back from Shira and Jessica, had not known them at all on Twitter, that they were both interested in starting a chat. And I think it's going in its eighth year now, and every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, we talk about coaching.
And I can say that I put that on people's recommended list from my opportunity to engage with you. Go ahead. I cut you off.
Thank
there.
You. Yeah, well, I was just going to add, you know, I enjoyed the EduCoach chat when that came about. I was an instructional coach before I became a principal. And I, when I was an assistant principal, I had the opportunity to work with a turnaround principal. So then when I took on my position, I kind of came in with that same mentality of let's turn this around. But then right away experienced some pushback and my own feelings of this doesn't feel like the joy I had when I was being an instructional coach. So how can a principal lead as an instructional coach when they have all of these other hats that they have to wear? And that's where, you know, our EduCoach chats continued to kind of come around to that discussion. And that's where then Shira, Kathy, and I decided, let's write a book about this.
So Shira, can you describe a little bit of the hat approach? As to how you see administrators having to wear those different hats.
Sure. So the job of a principal is becoming increasingly complex. There's also a movement among principals to take control of the job and to become the learning leaders that so many principals really long to be. we tend to get constrained in the role of manager, supervisor, putting out of all kinds of fires. There are so many roles that are required. So taking on the coach's hat is a deliberate approach that includes technical pieces, instructional pieces, time management pieces, goal setting, feedback pieces to really structure the role and reclaim the role of principal as an impactful learning leader, taking on the components of coaching that really lead to increased teacher effectiveness.
What are some of the critical skills that you see administrators having to gain in order to step into this role?
Well, I think personally, one of them is just the deep curiosity of what's going on in the classroom. If they go in with the answers to situations, they're not going to have that partnership. But if they go in with a deep curiosity to figure out what is it that the teacher's doing, what are the teacher's goals, what are the goals for the students, what are the students' goals, and through that curiosity, they can then continue with reflective questions so that they can better improve the aspects of in their school.
And I would add, going in with that coaching hat mentality, not going in to make judgments.
Another area is taking control of your calendar and your time and being able to manage time. A lot of administrators have a lot of skills, were teachers, were instructional coaches, have to translate that into the role of supervisor and balancing, wanting to give helpful space for teachers to reflect and grow while still being a supervisor. So that is a piece of it that's significant in terms of framing the difference between what a principal coach is and what a pure coach is. In addition to that, it's a significant time management piece to be able to craft the role in a way that allows for time to focus on instruction and teaching and learning.
So when I've been asked the question about, can an administrator be in a coaching role? I've always answered it as yes, with the proviso that you can communicate to the staff when you're in which role. So I guess that kind of matches your hat piece. How have you found as an administrator you've best been able to communicate to teachers that fact that you can play both roles?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, you can communicate that, but it's going to take time for people to actually feel it from you, you know, multiple times being in their classrooms and sharing reflective feedback. And it's going to take time for them to realize, oh, she's not out to get me. She's not evaluating me right now. For some people, that takes longer than it does others. Some, you know, jump right on board and they, you know, appreciate the reflective conversations and the feedback. I will tell you, every single year, and this is my 10th year, I still formally write out for my teachers, you know, I'm trying to operate as an instructional coach. When I'm in your classroom, I'm with my coaching hat. Even all of the formal components that we have to have in our evaluation process for our district, I still look at those with the lens of a coach, with, you know, us having a conversation. The conversation is more important to me than, you know, the paperwork that has to get filled out. If I ever say I have a concern, then, you know, I have a different hat on at that time. And then our conversation is going to be more evaluative.
Anybody got another thought there in communicating that difference to the teachers?
Well, when I was a coach, I had a principal that really had a coaching hat on it, whether we had the term invented or not, but he walked alongside the teachers. If there was something that they were learning, a strategy that they were learning, he was practicing it with them. He was learning it right with them. So then when it came the evaluation piece, he understood the strategy. He understood the approach. And therefore, when, you know, as Jessica said, if there was a concern, he'd state it that way. But if there wasn't a concern, they were all just learners together, growing together, mm-hmm. in helping the kids.
So if I'm an administrator and I wear that coach's hat, would you say to some degree I have some ownership, for lack of a better word, in the teacher's evaluation? In other words, if I've worked as your coach and it hasn't brought about your success, your evaluation is in effect somewhat reflective of my coaching.
Oh, absolutely. Just, you know, a teacher in a classroom, you feel ownership of your students, and when they're not succeeding, you're constantly trying to find ways to help them be successful. And so if a principal is operating with a coaching hat as well, you know, it's not looking at a teacher's weakness and thinking, oh, I'm going to mark them down on, you know, this evaluation scale. It's what can I do to support this teacher? Absolutely.
What, I'm wondering if you'd identify some of the most common mistakes an administrator might make as they look at stepping into the coaching role.
I think moving too quickly. I think moving in with a one-size-fits-all approach, not being sensitive enough to the vulnerability inherent in teaching and in opening yourself up for feedback. And I think not being sufficiently humble in the task. Another one is counterintuitive perhaps, but is praising too much. And that's been a balance in the approach. So what one of the things that I found was to always give a compliment, but to separate that from feedback, which is non-judgmental, because I found in my setting, people really wanted that appreciation when they opened their classrooms to you, yet praise is evaluative as much as criticism is. So finding that balance between being non-judgmental and curious and opening a question and showing appreciation for what's happening in the classroom.
And I would add a couple of other mistakes, looking at both ends of the spectrum for teachers. It could be very easy to say, okay, well, my rock star teachers don't need feedback because they're excellent, but you should still be in their classrooms and still be giving feedback and knowing their strengths so you can utilize their strengths to build up the rest of your teachers. And then on the other end, it is very easy to go into a classroom and see a dozen things that need feedback on. But no teacher is going to be able to hear feedback on that many things if there are a lot of areas that need to grow in. So, you know, as Shira said, picking one area for strength and then pick one area to have a conversation with that teacher and go slow with it.
I recall in my days of modeling coaching, people would observe me doing a post-conference, and they'd say, how did you find so many things to give the teacher positive feedback on? And my response was, I spent most of my time looking for it. it didn't take me long in some of the classrooms to pick something for the teacher to work on. And so I didn't spend the rest of my time looking for 10 more things. So once I identified what that one was for the teacher to work on, now it was being very focused on finding those positive feedback pieces that I could use to grow from. Kathy, did you have another common mistake?
I do. I think just as with an instructional coach, you're not the only one that can coach. And the instructional coach is not the only coach in the school. The principal, therefore, is not the only coach in the school. And build off of your work, Steve, as far as building that community of coaches. Because within that community of coaches, if you're modeling coaching and you're modeling coaching techniques as a principal, and then building opportunities for the teachers to help coach each other, that's when the whole system's going to work. It can't work with one person being the isolated coach in a system. So we draw upon you, Steve, for that good work.
Yeah. Another mistake I would add, or maybe not a mistake, just a way in which we define coaching comes from a quote from Grant Wiggins, which is, what is feedback? And it's not advice. It's not praise. It's not critique. It is evidence of progress toward a goal. So I think a mistake is not spending time to set the goals, to clarify the goals, to make sure that the teacher, the goals are teacher-centered and chosen and embraced by the teacher. And then look not at a million different things, but looking at what is the progress towards those goals or what are obstacles towards making progress towards those goals in a very methodical way.
So clearly then, as an administrator, I'm working for the teacher. If the teacher's identified the goal of that coaching process.
Precisely, yeah. And sometimes, you know, and the teacher also has power to identify how the teacher is going to meet those goals and what supports would be helpful and what supports wouldn't be helpful. So it may be coaching and it may be lots of other kinds of supports or approaches that the teacher wants to utilize in order to make progress toward the goal.
What roles do instructional coaches or teacher leaders play in your concept of the principal taking a coach approach?
Oh, a huge role, because even if a principal is operating with a coaching hat and doing a great job at it, you can't do it alone. You need to have a culture of coaching across your building, whether that's people who are in the actual position of being an instructional coach, whether it's peer coaching, whether it's just teachers taking some of their prep time to go and observe others or mentor teachers. You know, there's a lot of different ways to build that in, but you need to have an entire school-wide culture of coaching.
So if I create that culture of coaching, then in effect, as an administrator, I'm just another member of the team who plays that same coaching role that we do for each other.
Yes.
And I also think I heard kind of your message throughout our conversation here of vulnerability on the administrator's part. Mm-hmm. So I'm actually thinking it's, if the administrator can request coaching on his or her coaching, that's a way for them to model that back for the staff.
Yeah, I think that's very powerful, that everybody deserves a coach, and that's a statement, so that when teachers are being coached, it's not because of any sense of deficiency, but out of deep respect for what professionals deserve.
Just kind of open-ended here, I'm wondering if there's an area of your book that I've missed in my questions that you'd want to kind of alert my listeners to.
I don't know if it's in the book, but we have a couple institutes coming up. If that's something that
terrific, yeah, go ahead and tell folks about it.
Well, we have one Coach Approach Institute happening in Woodbridge, Illinois, on July 20th. It'll be an all-day event, and you can find out information on our website, coachapproach4schools.com. And up in the upper right-hand corner, there is a place to register. Shira, do you want to talk a little bit about the New Jersey Coach Approach Institute?
So the Coach Approach in Paramus, New Jersey is taking place on August 9th, and registration is also on the website for that.
Okay. Well, we'll list the website in the description of this podcast, so listeners can go back there and be sure that they found it.
I would also like to go back and talk about something in the book that we haven't mentioned yet, which is, what do you do when you're in a classroom? So principals sometimes ask, okay, I've made the time, I'm walking into classrooms and I feel awkward and I don't know what I should be doing. So there are two models that we offer in the book. One is offering non-judgmental prompts, so a compliment, and then four prompts: I notice, I wonder, what if, how might, which helped discipline me as a principal in not being judgmental, because the prompts allow you to pull out of yourself and not use terms like I like, I didn't like, I thought this was great, I think this needs to be improved. So that was a very helpful discipline for me. The other is one that Kathy has taught us and really advocated for, which is the ORID structure, which is a series of questions for reflection after: objective, reflective,
interpretive and decisional. So walking through a structure of question, of the coach asking questions, not giving any opinions, and helping the teacher think through her or his own teaching.
So you've really laid out a great opportunity here for an administrator to plan out his or her start into this realm of working more coach-like.
And in addition, I would add, you know, as much as you grow with your instructional coaching skills, it is just as important that you grow in your ability to manage your time and all of the stuff. Because if you don't, it will keep you in your office and you won't be able to get out of it and into your classrooms. So I found that those are two areas that I've had to focus on learning about so I can do them both together.
Well, ladies, thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. And as I said, we'll stick your website up in the description, and people have a chance to find you. And hopefully I'll be on a EduCoach chat, or you're doing a chat with the Coach Approach also. When's that?
Can we add, so you Coach bet. Approach, just hashtag Coach Approach, is the first Thursday of every month at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. I had to think about that for a minute. So the first Thursday of the month, Coach Approach.
Okay, and that information's on your website as well?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll find you in both places when it's when I'm not in Switzerland and it's the middle of the night, okay? Take care.
So
thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much.
Have a good evening.
Steve.
You bet.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening, folks. I'd love to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.